So we lost the good doctor in cell hell. Hopefully we've got her back. Hello, doctor. Are you there? Please say yes.
Hello there, Dave. Thank you so much for coming back to me.
No, I don't know what happened. You know, cell hell. That's what we call it. But it's good to talk to you again. And we're finding the right help for tinnitus, misophonia, and I hope I pronounced the other one correctly. Is it hyperacusis?
That's perfect. Yes, wow. It's hyperacusis.
That's not bad for me. Please, can you just define these terms for somebody listening and has absolutely no clue what they are?
Sure. So these are all sound perceptions. That's why they've grouped together. Tinnitus is a ringing, humming, hissing, fairly constant sound. People will describe it differently because it's how they perceive it. But it's there even though there isn't a humming, hissing sound on the outside. So they're not hearing a sound that exists in real life, but internally. Misophonia is a raised, angry, annoyed, irritated, or both emotional and behavioral response to specific sounds, very often tied to human sounds, interestingly. And then hyperacusis is the oversensitivity to the loudness of sounds. And that can start with actually, rather than the very loudest sound, even medium sounds can become uncomfortable or intolerable to somebody with hyperacusis.
All right. Now, we spoke off air and I told you that I'd been diagnosed with misophonia. It's not great. It isn't. Can we just explain what that is when it comes to people who are eating and noise, etc.?
Sure. So, obviously sound perceptions are not just the way we hear sound with the ear, but the way we interpret sound information at the level of the brain. And misophonia in particular, being an angry or irritated response to sounds that often human beings make, is sometimes tied. Firstly, there's some brain basis to it. So very often a specific area in the brain may be a little more perceptive and larger than other people. But you can also find that it can be tied to some level of trauma or control issues, anxiety related to sound interrupting your experience, as well as just sensory processing, which can become quite difficult for some people. And so it's a set of different things that result in the misophonia as a symptom.
I want to tell you what happened yesterday, just briefly, and then you can tell me how bad I have misophonia, if you will. I was in the car and a radio advert came on, and they were talking about probiotics, and the gentleman in the advert was downing, I don't know what it was, medicine, water, and it was sort of a glug, 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 and I absolutely freaked out, and I had to turn the radio off. Is that bad?
Yeah. Well, you know, Dave, I think that obviously there's a range of on a continuum from a severity point of view. So, of course, one doesn't want something that spoils your quality of life, makes you have to turn radios off or move away from people or feel angry at people when you're together with them, either, you know, in at a dinner, at a social occasion.
Yeah.
It's disruptive. But I guess the positive is that for all of these conditions, there is actually both, in some cases, diagnostic reasons that can be helped, and then in other cases, a type of rehabilitation that doesn't result in cure, but results in optimal management that makes a quality of life much better. So one doesn't have to live with these on an ongoing basis without assistance.
All right, so you can help with all these three conditions, without a doubt.
So indeed, audiologists and in some cases psychologists are involved in the management of any one of these three conditions. Usually somebody who's got specific training to work with these conditions. So audiologists enter it from a point of view of it being a sound-related condition. So we are, well-trained and educated, and some people have special interests in these areas like myself. And then we've also got psychologists who've branched into this area. And so there's quite a substantial crossover in the work that psychologists and audiologists do when working with sound perception. But yes, indeed, it is an audiologist's role and within our scope of practice to work with patients who are experiencing these symptoms.
You are so knowledgeable. I love it. Now, if you were to give general advice for people listening who may have one or even more than one of these kinds of problems, what's the most important message you'd actually like to convey to them?
So I think that the message I would want to give is that all three of these conditions have a risk of escalating because of one's own thought patterns. So things like Googling them and reading somebody else's bad news on them can obviously make you more anxious and escalate how you feel. Also, there's a million different advertisements for treatments that don't have a basis in science, or management that doesn't have a basis in science. And so people who want to avoid these conditions will go to any length sometimes to solve it, and are at risk for being for having the wool pulled over their eyes in terms of management. So my most important advice would be, don't leave it. Go and see a professional and do it as early as you can in the course of experiencing the problem, so that you don't have a buildup of all sorts of layers of psychology on top of what you're experiencing. And let a professional guide you in terms of what evidence-based practice is.
All right. Now, finally, how can somebody listening find someone to help them? And I'm sure that there's people listening at the moment going, I need to fix this.
Well, I would like to guide them to the website of the independentaudiologists.co.za. The reason that I think it's really a good start is that one wants to check the organic basis of hearing before one makes an assumption on what condition one is looking at. There are specific, dedicated, well-constructed scales to assess the impact of these conditions, and audiologists have that in their practice kit, so to speak. And so you're going to find the right resources with an audiologist, and either you will find somebody who treats the condition or manages the condition themselves, or they will have a referral system to an audiologist who is more interested, has spent more time with it, has more experience with it, and will be able to help.
Doctor, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always, talking to you. Thank you so, so much for joining us here on 88FM.
Thank you. The Independent Connected Audiology Network always appreciates your time, Dave.
Thank you so, so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you. She is so knowledgeable. I love it.